everyone, and welcome to another episode of Big Bearded Brooklyn Bros on the Bridge, a Star Trek podcast. I'm your host, Rob Antiquera, a.k.a. Cinema Drunk. With me is my esteemed co-host, my very own number one, Big Mac. Mac, how are you?
What is up, broski, and hello to the fellow Trekkie world.
What is up, indeed. Now, of course, last episode, I discussed that we were going to be going random. So you never know what we're going to talk about whenever episode premieres, you know, Star Trek episode, movie, you know, just random subject. So then tonight, the surprise is we are going to be talking about the Andorian incident from season one of Star Trek Enterprise, or as it's known in the first two seasons, Enterprise. I like how, first of all, before we go into it, I would like to discuss Enterprise for a second for those who aren't familiar with it. Enterprise was the sixth Star Trek show overall, the fifth spinoff of Star Trek, starring Scott Bakula as Captain Jonathan Archer, as most people would know him as, Dr. Sam Beckett from the classic show Quantum Leap.
Such a good show.
Yeah. I love Quantum Leap.
So all right. Now, Agent Pride in NCIS New Orleans.
That's who his character's name is.
That is. He is Agent Pride.
Nice.
One of my faves.
How long has that show been running now?
Oh, it's got a few seasons behind it. At least 6-7.
Damn. I remember seeing the ads for when that show premiered, and now it's all like season 6 and 7.
People like, love them some NCIS.
They be turning out them bad boys quick.
Mark Harmon, man, set that all in rolling.
That's right. The coolest actor who ever lived, Mark Harmon. Mark Harmon. For those who don't know, that's a Family Guy reference. We are Family Guy people, so.
Do you see a chair under Mark Harmon?
Do you see a wheelchair under Mark Harmon? I hate Peter. I'm going to go into the synopsis of the episode. The episode begins with... Captain Archer, of course, played by Scott Bakula, discussing with his commanding officer, Commander Tucker, about an offshore planet that they discovered that was not in the Star Trek provided to them by their science officer, T'Pol, played by Jolene Blaylock, and the Vulcan, Jolene Blaylock. For those who don't know, she was, I forget her character's name, but she was in Starship Troopers 3. I know she's been in other stuff, but all I know her is from Enterprise and Starship Troopers 3.
I mean, yo, we only respect the first Starship Troopers out here.
I mean, Part 3 wasn't so bad. Part 2 was the one you gotta fucking avoid. That Starship Troopers 2, man. Like, oh, lordy, lord. But in Starship Troopers 3, she was basically playing not Carmen. Because right. I know in the script, I think she was intended to be Carmen. And then they decided they wanted to go with a newer character, or they just couldn't afford to bring Denise Richards back. So decided to, and she was cast in the role. But going back into the episode, they discover an offshore planet in which there is a Vulcan monastery on it called the Pajem, which is used to, by Vulcan people to practice the Kolinar, which, of course, is the Vulcan ritual of purging all emotion. And Archer and them are like, hey, we want to go. And T'Pol's like, nah. But after having a talk with Dr. Phlox on the ship, she's like, all right. But she's
okay.
Like, all right, we'll go, but don't you motherfuckers embarrass me and do whatever I say, all right? And they're like, all right, whatever. So when they get there, they notice that, you know, there's shit, you know, just something's up, you know.
Shit is awry.
Yeah. Shit is all fucked up on the ship. I mean, in the monastery. It's all fucked up. And they notice someone in hiding, because what they don't know is that prior to their arrival, the monastery was attacked by a group of aliens known as the Andorians. Andorians, famous for their first appearance in the Star Trek Season 2 episode, Journey to Babel, which is a classic episode, and who are rivals of the Vulcans. They're like neighboring planets, and they're, you know, they're rivals of the Vulcans. So they have this tension between them, especially at this point in time, in the timeline. And they are adamant in that there is a sort of spy station, sensor array, that the Vulcans are using to spy on their homeworld, Andori. And they're just, you know, they come in and they're smashing everything up because they know it's there, but they can't find it. And Archer and his team just happen to just come in there at the worst time possible, and they get taken hostage. And now it's basically becoming a fight to survival. They just keep interrogating Archer and beating the shit out of him the entire episode.
Whole episode.
But also they start to figure out that not everything is what it seems, and that the Vulcans are hiding something. They're not exactly being truthful. So it basically becomes like almost a race against time, a conspiracy. And yeah, it's a really good episode. So, Mac, you had not seen this episode before I suggested it to you, right?
I had not. I haven't even. I hate to say it, Enterprise was definitely one in the Star Trek line that I missed. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. The episode was good. I will say, though, that opening is garbage. That whole intro song is garbage. But besides the episode was good.
Let me tell you something. As a, you know, lifelong Star Trek fan, when I first heard the intro, I was like, oh, the fuck is this? What is this? Why they just got some random ass song? And I know there's a lot of people who felt that way. They was like, this is just,
that's how I exactly felt. I said, the hell is this?
Yeah, this is just
ain't what I'm used to.
Right, you know, absolutely. But over the years, it has grown on me, and it's still weird that, you know, like, out of all the Star Trek shows, this is the one that has, like, you know, just this,
like a ballad, you know, like a love ballad.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely a ballad. But it's weird to hear as the intro to a Star Trek show, but the song is not bad. I actually enjoyed the fucking song. You know what I'm saying? Like, the song.
I understood where they were going with it. I just felt the tempo, and I mean, hey, maybe I got to watch a few more episodes and I'll feel the same. Because I did go back after watching this episode and was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to start this season and see what this line is about.
Right. To be honest, I probably am the least familiar with this one out of all the Star Trek shows. Like, this is probably the one I've watched the least.
Right.
You know, so I'm not that familiar with it. So,
it's
like,
the opening, you know, it drew you off, man.
It kind of did, and I was kind of like, you know, oh, of course, we're doing a prequel to Star Trek. You know,
wait, this is supposed to be a prequel?
Yeah. This is this is 100 years before Kirk and Spock. This is like 100 years before the original series.
Wow. Okay, I did not even see that coming. So yeah, they did the prequel thing before George Lucas tried to do the prequel thing.
No. This was after Phantom
Menace. Was it? Because, yes. Like, yo, watching it, I get the... Yeah, you know what? You're right, because Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, okay. I get the early 90 vibes from this, though.
Yeah. It premiered in 2001.
Okay.
So this was 2 years after Phantom Menace premiered.
Oh, but, so they must have said, hey, great idea, let's try this.
I think they just wanted to do something, like, you know, that was different from, like, you know, because...
The norm?
They did TNG, they did DS9, and then they did Voyager. So it's like, okay, let's not continue on from that timeline. Let's go way back, you know, to where everything, you know, was all started. You know, the uneasy alliance at first with the Vulcans, you know, and the rediscovering new races. And, you know, like, you know, almost primitive technology compared to, you know, later Star Trek episodes. So that was the idea. That's what they, you know, that's what they went with. And it lasted a while. It was probably the shortest lived series in Star Trek.
So that means that episode in the original series was their second encounter.
Yeah. After when we see Journey to Babel, they had already long been.
They know about them. Okay.
Yeah, like the Andorians, everything's, you know, kind of sort of.
Cool. Oh, now I understand the hostility even more now, though.
Yeah, because this is when everything was. Yeah, this is when everything was like, you know, they was all on some fuck y'all. No, fuck y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Especially with how this episode turned out in Enterprise, now I can understand why he was so hostile on the Enterprise, the way back in with the original series.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've been making my way through Enterprise because I just wanted to refamiliarize myself with it, being that it was the one I watched the least. I would say the Star Trek shows I watched the most, probably the original series and Voyager.
On the other spectrum. I did a lot of Generation because that's what was on late nights when I was growing up.
Absolutely.
And Deep Space Nine. I actually, like, watched Deep Space Nine.
You know, it's funny, too, because I'm a huge fan of TOS. I mean, who isn't? And so I went into TNG, and, you know, as a kid, I was like, this is kind of boring, you know, because I'm thinking, like, I'm going off the shows and the movies. I'm looking for cool fights and space battles, right. You know, because I was too young to realize, you know, Star Trek is more than that.
Right.
And TNG was kind of like, you know, it was very dramatic. And I was like, this is fucking boring. You know, lo and behold, you know, now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, TNG fucking rules. You know, and then I started DS9, Deep Space Nine, and it kind of had the feel of TNG. So I kind of gave up on it, which was fucked up because if I stood with it, I would have, you know, got into the Dominion War later on and shit. And that's
the feel, but it had the action that you might have been missing.
Right, you know, and then, like, you know, like I said, like, you know, once they get into the Dominion War, that's when the show becomes its own thing. You know what I'm saying? It becomes really separate from TNG and literally just becomes its own thing. And then there was Voyager, which was probably the one I watched the most. I mean, second most since the original series. I watched that one, you know, religiously. I was the one that stayed with that one, you know, mostly toward the end. I just kind of started petering out when Seven of Nine came in because I felt like her casting was gimmicky. But by Enterprise, it was like, like I couldn't get into it. But now that I'm going through it, I was like, no, this is cool, this is good. And this episode is a good indication of like how good the show is because this is a really good episode. I kind of want to get into the characters for a second, especially Archer and like his relationship with T'Pol. They from the very beginning of the series, they have a kind of tension filled alliance with them, you know. Her basically her hiring as science officer was kind of forced upon him, you know, as you know, this the alliance with the Vulcans. So like they kind of have this relationship that's, you know, kind of antagonistic. You know, she's kind of like, kind of, she's high sedity when compared to the human crew. Especially in this episode, she lets them know about the how much the humans stink. Like, I didn't know that, you know, humans stunk so bad, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Well, didn't they said it in The Matrix. Mm-hmm. So, it must be true.
Yeah, like, T'Pol, I love the conversation she has with the Vulcan elder after they, you know, they've been taken hostage. You know, how long have you been stationed on the ship? 9 weeks and 4 days. The smell must be intolerable. You get used to it. And it's like, wow. And then also, she initially refuses to share a blanket with Archer when they have to go to sleep because she can't stand the smell. And it's like, fuck, man. But I think this was after the first episode, you know, as we see, like, you know, where their relationship started. This was like easily a stepping stone for like how their relationship develops in the future, you know.
Right.
Where, you know, she has to learn to, you know, experience, you know, because she's very proud Vulcan, and she kind of looks down her nose at the humans.
You know? Oh, she's super stuck up.
Yes. The whole
like, I've seen some Vulcans come and go, and they act snooty-tooty, but she, like, I don't even, honestly, I think the character idea was nice. I didn't really enjoy, or maybe it's only because I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in, I don't really enjoy her, like herself in that role.
Right. She gets better. You know, it's all.
Oh, thanks for the hope. She gets better.
Yeah, she does.
Insert laugh here.
No, T'Pol, she gets, you know, better. Like, it's basically, you know, it's the arc we're running, you know, where she gets there and she's all stuck up and, you know, basically snooty and full of shit, you know, because she's all high and mighty because she's a Vulcan. And this was,
she's kind not even of, attractive as a Vulcan.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with that, you know.
Her face, man. It's the face.
If she's got that stern face and that awful fucking, you know,
haircut,
it's
a horrible.
Yeah, that wig is too high. It's an obvious wig. You know, they really should have fixed it. But she, you know, this episode was basically kind of like that stepping stone where it's look where it's like you're Vulcan, you know. The way you look at, you know, your Vulcan, you know, heritage, kind of like is on shaky ground.
They got 4 seasons? Okay.
Yeah. They have, this was probably the second shortest Star Trek show since TOS. Because TNG, DS9, and Voyager all lasted 7 seasons.
Right.
This lasted 1 season more than the original series, it was they had, you know, intentions of going farther, but, you know, obviously they got canceled. You know, it was basically considered to be franchise fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, they had so many shows and they were still doing the movies at the same time, even though the last Star Trek movie came out in 2002 and Enterprise ended in 2005.
Yeah.
So it was kind of considered franchise fatigue because it's just been so much fucking Star Trek, you know. I mean,
there is a lot, though. I mean, listen, you keep it coming. I'll take it all. But there is a lot. There is a lot of content that if you were, like, right now to be like, yo, I want to get into Star Trek right now. Let me get it. You better be ready because there's a lot of content.
Yeah. That's mainly because Star Trek is very much episodic in nature, thanks, you know, due to it being originated as a television property, you know, as opposed to Star Wars, which, you know, was movie based, you know, they only got into TV shows, you know, randomly. They had like that cartoon Star Wars droids, and then they started doing, you know, Clone Wars, and then
you know what it kind of reminds me of? Star Trek. And it, like, all right, so I'm not saying it is like animes, but in animes, like, let's just say Dragon Ball Z, if you wanted to start watching Dragon Ball Z right now, you got to be ready to watch 1,000 episodes. some people ain't about that life. Like, my wife was like, oh, I want to get into Dragon Ball Z. We got, like, half a season in, and she was like, nah, I can't do this. So it's the same thing with Star Trek. Yeah. There's so much. But if you push through and get through it, man, you'll be a fan.
No, absolutely. You know, that's the beauty of Star Trek. You know, it's just the stories and episodes they have, you know, is just incredible enough that they just really bring you in, you know, regardless, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go in there looking for cool space battles and fights and stuff, but you stay for the drama and the characters. Yeah. You know, it's really the characters, you know, saying the stories they tell is what brings you.
What happens next? Are they going to be able to save him? Oh, no, I have to know. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, going back to the Andorian incident, I think that this episode was very good in, you know, basically developing the relationship between Archer and T'Pol.
100%.
Going further into the series, you know, this was the episode where it's like they became like more understanding of each other than before.
Like, it's not just a job. Like, you gotta have my back. I'll have your back. Mm-hmm. Don't step on my toes. I won't step on your toes.
Right. Like, there was an episode where he basically doesn't really outright question her loyalty, but he kind of does, and she gets offended. Right. You know, like she. I mean, obviously she appreciates her Vulcan heritage, but there's you know, it had to be asked of her, and she was kind of like, you know, I have never disobeyed any one of your orders, kind of thing. And he was just like, you know, my bad, you know.
I mean, it's only right, though, because, yeah, she's a Vulcan. We know how the Vulcans feel towards us Earthlings, but at the end of the day, I don't want to say, I'm not your boss, but you're working with me. We're a team, so I have to know you have my back. If something pops off, you can't be like, oh, I'm just going to bounce Vulcan because those are my people. Nah, you with me. We're a team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, another point of contention in the episode is I wanted to get into is it's kind of also a race against time because while they're interrogating Archer and, you know, beating the royal shit out of him, you notice Archer gets to ass whoop the entire episode.
But you know what? NCIS New Orleans, too, he be getting whooped, man.
Really?
He just be taking whoopings, man.
Stan Beck and Isler had a fucking fight. Right. they should have called this episode The Passion of the Archer and shit because he gets beat like Jesus in the
show. He does.
Like, he does. Archer gets his ass.
Some of it he takes, though. Some of it he asks for.
Yeah, so, yeah. So the one incident in particular, he does ask for the beaten, but that's just because he needs to, you know, devise the plan in order to, you know, figure out where the tunnels lead. So he needs to get beat up in order to, you know, help figure out how did they get out of this situation.
Get that information.
Right, but it's also a race against time because while one of the times where they're interrogating Archer, beating the shit out of him, they get contacted by the Enterprise, which is basically in command of Lieutenant Reed, and the Andorians say, "Oh, you better keep your asses up there and shit, or we kill this motherfucker. You know, we don't want to hear no more shit."
What
and
they smash it.
They smash the communicators, and Reed, who's a hothead, like, I ain't about to punk me up here and shit. Nah, fuck that shit, bro. So he's like, we're going to go down there. We're going to fuck shit up. So they have to figure out a way to contact him, because if he does show up, you know, the armed forces, which he most likely will, as they deduce, they're going to start killing hostages. So they have to find a way to contact him, you know, with this old beat up ass radio sort of that the Vulcans have in their caves. Which kind of starts leading to suspicions, because supposedly they said they had no technology.
Well,
so they got this. Yeah,
suspect.
Like, yeah. We're.
They oh, got we this. Just so oh, happen yeah. to have an old. We forgot it's an inventory. Get out of here, man.
Like, yeah, like, oh, word? Like, yeah, I, whatever. You know, so they fix it, and they're able to contact Reed. They're like, yo, son, hold up. You know, just stand fast, you know what I'm saying?
Don't come down here knocking on doors real quick.
Yeah, you gonna get our fucking heads blown off, so chill the fuck out up there while you up there. And Reed's like, I, whatever. You know? And then they're able to basically say, like, you know, after Archer takes his last ass whooping, where he fakes like he has information to tell them, only, you know, to get to basically leave a marker per se and shit that this tunnel leads back to the front, you know. Right. So he takes his ass up and he goes back, and it's like, I, you can come down here, and we're gonna start busting heads, all right? And he gets down there, and you know, it leads to you know, this whole big conclusion where they get into a firefight where they're shooting pew 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 all over the place, and then when it gets down to the nitty gritty in the caves, they find a secret door, and what is in it? Of course, it's a sensor array that the Andorians have been looking for this whole time, which basically says that they were right all along and the Vulcans were full of shit. Now,
let me first start this little where we get into the audience. So this door in the cave that was only covered by a blanket.
Right. It was like
a fucking blanket, nigga. You trying to do some spiry shit. You doing like put some bricks over that, like a blanket. And then like it's hooked up to like a shower like rod type situation where it starts breaking when you fall on it because it's a blanket.
Right.
And
right.
It's a crazy titanium door.
Like it just like it doesn't even get shot. It like the phaser
fell into
phaser
it.
Plastic.
The phaser he rolled into goes, the corner and it came down on top of him.
It just went, oh.
And he said, "Oh wait, what is this? Hold on, let me pull the rest of this down."
Right, and then like you know. He goes down, he sees the door, and he opens it, and it opens up, and you see this vast kind of station that they're, you know, that they're basically using to spy on the Andorians. And it's like, oh, shit, you motherfuckers been lying this whole time, so I got my ass whooped like 87 times for nothing. Because you motherfuckers been lying. You know? And that what did you think of the plot twist when you find out that the Vulcans were actually lying?
You know what? I enjoyed it, like, but I wanted it to happen to confirm what I was thinking, because I was like, yo, this is a little crazy. You guys out here by yourselves talking about you're just praying and meditating, and now times that'll be called a cult. So you know, y'all doing something, and my thoughts were confirmed, and I was like, yes. The blanket threw me off though. I was like, really, a blanket? All right.
Yeah,
but what got me was the Vulcan, his number, well, she was his science officer.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yo, go ahead, let me scan this, get the information. then gave it to homie who was up in here causing a ruckus looking for it, and she let it happen. Like, she was like, yeah, he can go against her own people.
Yeah, Commander Shran. He eventually become like an important player in the rest of the series. So, and this was the first time we meet him. So, like, as you go along, you will see him become an important part of the show. And, it was kind of like, he was a dick the whole episode, but like, you know, it was kind of redeeming, you know, saying the feeling like, wow, you know, he's been right all along, you know.
And now he did tell him that, yo, I'm in your debt. And then fast forward 100 years, one of their peoples stabs Captain Kirk.
No. But that's the thing, though. In Journey to Babel, it finds out the one who stabs Kirk wasn't actually Andorian. He was Orion.
Oh, you're right. His horn broke off.
Yeah, his antenna fell off when he fell. Yeah, so he was a plant by the Orions, you know, in order to disrupt.
I was thinking, you stab homie, American, us humans helped you. Like, we got you your info, like, and you stabbing our peeps?
Yeah, you know. That was fucked up, you know. But, it wasn't the Andorians doing, you know what I'm saying? They're not to blame for the this
one. Okay, so I take back my hatred then.
Yeah, it's all, you can blame it all on the Orions. It was all their fault. But, let's go into the Andorians for a second. How did you feel that they were portrayed?
I mean, honestly, for some people who wanted like some information, they really didn't seem like that hell bent on doing anything necessary to get that information. Because the head of the monastery said, "Oh, they come by every couple of months, they stay for a couple of days, then they leave. It's all right."
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, and what happened was that because Enterprise showed up, you know, with Archer and Tucker and T'Pol, it basically, you know, arose their suspicions even more. So it was, they kind of unintentionally confirmed what they believed all along, even though like they basically just was like, oh, we just came here to look at this old ass monastery, you know, we just visitors and shit. And they was like, nah, y'all motherfuckers hiding something. Y'all in cahoots with it. Look, and y'all got a Vulcan with y'all. You see, y'all got something up. And Archer's just like, nah, bro. Like, you know, we
ain't got shit. You, though, if you were someone there, like, yo, these guys got info on me. You come all the time, and now this time you go to raid their shit. Some Starfleet niggas show up with a Vulcan. You ain't never like, nah. I don't care. You ain't visiting nothing. You playing right now.
Right, you know. But obviously, it works out for them because, you know, they find out they were right all along.
Right.
You know. And you lead to this, which basically, you know, it kind of curtails, comes to a head in the end where T'Pol... He gives it to T'Pol, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, to take all the images, you know, and give it give it to him. You know, and she's like, I hear. And then like
WikiLeaks he basically before turned WikiLeaks. It to,
right. You know, and he also like, you know, basically leaves it to her, like, you know, she's like, give me a communicator, you know, T'Pol the Enterprise. You know, the Andorian ship is free to go. You know what I'm saying? Basically proving that, you know, above all else,
she was a science officer or security officer?
Science.
So she had that much pull as a science officer to tell the people up there, like, yeah, nah, they can go.
Yeah.
All right.
So, she basically has the pull.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
they could go. And they're like, all right.
Go study something.
But yeah, that was a nice little wrap up to basically their conversation earlier, because it showed above all else T'Pol is loyal to her duty as, you know, an officer on the Enterprise, you know.
Right.
But when the push comes up, like, you know, are your are you Vulcan? You know, are you loyal to, you know, your race, or are you loyal
to... Because that's like some new thing right there. You just found out your race is spying.
Yeah.
And you, you let them take the information and go.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, above all else, you know, it's right and wrong. And, you know, the Vulcans are wrong. So, you know, fuck them. But, you know, this will lead to, you know, repercussions, you know, further down the line.
Of course. It always does.
Yeah, you know, because basically, you know, you betrayed your people kind of there, you know what I'm saying? And then she's like,
well, she kind of did, though.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, the fuck you want me to do and shit? Y'all was full of shit, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, the fuck y'all want me to do and shit? I'm not going to sit there and lie for you motherfuckers, you know? Y'all was caught red-handed. We caught you and shit, so, you know.
Bang!
I would have had to do. I like when the Vulcan monk, like, when they're busted, he pulls the gun on Archer.
Yo, this little son of a gun. I'm not even gonna get crazy. Yo, this little guy, man. Like, I was like, wait, what?
Right? He's like, give it to me, or I will kill him. And Archer just with the ill.
And no one in skinny jeans gonna rob me. Get out of here, little boy.
Yo, dead ass. But, yeah, so, of course, the Andorians get their information, you know, that proves that they were right all along. The Vulcans are spying on them, and they're free to go, even though he beat the shit out of Archer the entire episode. You know, and basically they're like, yeah, I owe you one. You owe me a few, motherfucker, and shit. Look at all these bruises on my face.
Right.
You know. And, it's, you know, and then, like, you know, they leave and all good. But the situation, like, as I stated, the situation is not over so far because it leads to further repercussions for T'Pol and her family. And, you know, obviously, Shran will become a recurring, you know, character in the show. And this was a good place to start. You know, it's, as I said, this episode... Well, yeah, obviously, you know, if you're going to start Enterprise, you obviously just start from the first episode. But this is probably the best episode of the show, one of the best episodes of the show. And it was a good place to start, you know, conversation about in like, order to let
people. Even though I kind of went backwards, I do feel now that I've watched the first two or three episodes, I can see how the tension was getting. Mm-hmm. And then I remember this episode, and I'm like, okay, it makes sense why they were where they were when they got to this point, and what she did at the end, which was a big deal.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen the Andorian incident, we can't recommend enough. It's a great episode. For the first season of Enterprise. I know for a fact that it's a lot of the cast's favorite episode, one of their favorite episodes of the show.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them have gone on record saying that, you know, this is a good-ass episode. And I am one to agree, this is a good-ass episode. So if you haven't seen the Andorian incident, or if you just want to check out Enterprise, you know, This is one of the good ones, the really, really good ones. It's very good Star Trek episode, so we can't recommend enough. So if you want to watch it, check it out based on, you know, our recommendation. We hope we able to curtail your curiosity enough to go watch it because it's a great, great episode. And, I would say that concludes our discussion on the Andorian incident and this episode of Big Bearded Brooklyn Bros on the Bridge. Of course, I'm your host, Rob Ransquare, a.k.a. The Cinema Junkie, and me and my co-host, Big Mac, would like to wish you have a good night and salutations. Any final thoughts, Mac?
You said it all, man. Good episode. Definitely check it out. And everybody have a good night. Be safe out there. Keep on trekking.
Absolutely. And wash your hands.
Wash your damn hands, people. Wear masks. Box. 6 feet.
Wear your mask.
It's not that hard. Just 6 feet. Like, the fuck?
Exactly. Wear your mask. Wash your hands and stay 6 feet. And We will be, see you on the flip-flop. Have a good night, everybody.
Later. We'll be right back.